does this button do?
All right, fantastic, and we're live. So, wow, yesterday, CPI inflation data coming in hotter than expected, and markets are selling off. Today, we had the PPI inflation data, and we'll see what markets do with that information. Needless to say, never a dull moment in the markets. And with that said, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Margaret. Today is Thursday, April 11th, and in this show, we are going to talk to you about what the markets are doing and how we are trading it. And as you can see, I'm still on the road. So I am here in, I want to say, beautiful Fresno. But if Fresno is beautiful, I haven't found it yet. So if you're from Fresno or live in Fresno and say, hey, there are these beautiful things that you need to see, what I do see is mountains with snow. That is gorgeous. Anyhow, last day here, heading back home today. And Mark, I miss one day. And what the heck did you do to the markets?
I know. Hey, first of all, next time you find yourself in Fresno, you have to drive an hour and 20 minutes to Yosemite. That's where that makes it worthwhile. But anyway, what did I do with the markets? I don't know. Things went crazy. You missed Coffee with Marcus and Mark one day, and everything drops, Marcus. All because of CPI, though.
All because of CPI. So let's take a look at this. We know that the Fed is still fighting inflation, and this is why traders are paying attention to the inflation numbers. And yesterday, you probably talked about it, CPI, core CPI, and the CPI year over year coming in much hotter than expected. And this is where, okay, we have seen a few speed bumps on the way down, bring inflation down. So it looked like this, and now it looks like this. And now at some point, people and maybe even the Fed are concerned that it moves up a little bit. And this is why yesterday, interest rates spiked, the yields spiked, dragging the market down.
Yeah, and you know, it just shows that even if the Fed has waged a decent battle against inflation, and inflation has been falling from its peak, it just shows that it's still a fight that isn't over yet, and that this last bit of to push prices down even further might be more challenging than expected, which means a rate cut could come later than expected.
Yeah, we'll take a look at rates and the probabilities in a moment. But then today we had the PPI report coming out. And the PPI report coming in line with expectations for the core PPI, the PPI itself, slightly better than expected. And this is where, at first, this morning, traders were reacting to this positively and say, ooh, that's good. If you look at a five-minute chart of the E-mini S&P and see what exactly happened here during the time when the report was released, it was just going up, jumping massively higher. In fact, if you look at this move, I mean, this here is a substantial move of 1% higher in pre-market trading. Reason being is because there is more components in the PPI that are also in the PCE index, which is the Fed's favorite inflation gauge. And this is where, now looking a little bit ahead, if we look at the next few weeks, I believe it is towards the end. This is where the core PCE price index will be released on the 26th. This is where right now, first people say, well, maybe the core PCE price index comes in better than expected, and this is the Fed's favorite inflation gauge. However,
sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it did look like there was a bit of a relief. And I mean, I think it would have been nasty had there been a spike in PPI inflation and an increase there as well as CPI. I think it would have been pretty nasty. And it looked like the traders liked a little stability there. But it all comes down to yields and rate hikes.
Yeah. And if you look at the yields, we see that this morning, yields are on the rise again for both the 10-year yield, I'm on the hotel Wi-Fi here, which is a little bit slower. So the 10-year yield now well above 4.5, almost scratching 4.6. And the 2-year yield, I mean, this morning it was spiking above 5%, right now pulling back, but just a smidgen under 5%, a level that we haven't seen since November.
Yeah, that's big. That's big. That just shows that investors believe that rates and the yields are likely to remain higher for the near term. And that's not necessarily a good thing for equities. And we've seen some indecision and uncertainty with today's movement.
Yeah. So let's keep this in mind as we're looking at the probability. So the 2-year yield at 5%. And now we hop over to the probabilities to see of what's happening here, of what traders are expecting. So we see that currently the rate is 5.25 by 5.5, and no rate cuts in the May meeting. Now, probably also not happening in the June meeting. Even in the July meeting, it's just 50-50. So it seems that rate cuts have been pushed towards the end of the year. So right now we're thinking, or Fed funds traders are thinking, September meeting. Now, again, looking at when the year ends, which is right here, we only see that one rate cut actually that traders are factoring in right now. Maybe another one in the December meeting. But this is not the three rate cuts that everybody was hoping for and that the Fed communicated just a few weeks ago, where they say, "Oh yeah, we were planning to lower interest rates three times this year." Doesn't look like it.
Not long shot.
Yeah.
Not by a long shot.
So, and again, the 2-year yield also being at 5% means that kind of traders are expecting rates to be somewhere in this range between 4.75 and 5.5 for the next 2 years. And that is, of course, putting pressure on stocks.
Absolutely. And it's why we're looking at a 2-week losing streak now.
Yeah, talk about 2-week losing streak. Absolutely. So, I mean, yields are higher. VIX, the volatility index, is higher. I mean, not as high as it was in October and November, but I mean, well above the levels that we have seen recently, around 13 and 14. This morning, we were scratching 18. I mean, we were at 17.6. Has calmed down a little bit, but this is where we just see, okay, there is a lot of fear returning into the markets. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get some bad news from earnings season that we could spike up to 20.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We know that JP Morgan reporting earnings on Friday, but CarMax reporting this morning, is it a little bit of a sign of things to come? I hope not.
Yeah, KMX is
KMX.
CarMax. So let's look at KMX this morning, down 12.5%. And that's pretty much the first reporting earnings, right? And we have after the bell, Delta reporting earnings today.
Yeah, so a couple of names starting to come in, but JP Morgan, Wells Fargo on Friday will be the bigger start.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the earnings calendar here so that we see what is happening over the next few days. So again, this morning, oh, we had yesterday Delta Airlines. I thought it was today. Okay, anyhow. So CarMax reporting this morning before the bell, as we can see. And then tomorrow, we have banks reporting. And I'm pretty sure that Jamie Dimon will have some words for us, because a higher interest rate environment is not good for banks. I mean, we see it here today. We saw it yesterday that banks were under pressure. Today, looking at the heat map, I mean, what sticks out? We have a few sectors that stick out. The first is the financial sector right here, down today. The other one is oil and gas right here. So we have these two sectors that are down right now. And we talked about it with our masterminds this morning, right? I mean, why would banks be down? Isn't higher interest rates good for them? Don't they make more money? Yes, and people are taking out fewer loans.
Exactly. Because if a car loan is 10% rather than 3%, you're more likely to drive the old clunker for a little bit. If housing rates are 8% rather than 3.5%, you're probably not in a position to have your mortgage rate go up by 50% by buying a new place. So it does carry over, and it means that there's fewer loans being written.
Yeah. So this is where we'll see what Jamie Dimon and gang have to say tomorrow when we see the earnings released for banks. The banks always kicking it off.
Yep. So it'll be interesting.
All right. With that, let's talk about our positions. And first, let's talk about wheel positions. So we have Apple. We got assigned Apple at 170. We sold calls against our position. And right now, Apple is trading at 169.20. So if Apple stays below 170, let's actually zoom in here a little bit. So if it stays below 170, our calls expire worthless. We keep the whole premium and have maybe another opportunity to sell more calls on Monday. If Apple rallies above, or not rallies, but moves above 170 by tomorrow afternoon, we get called away. And then this was a nice and quick wheel trade, and we can start looking at selling puts again.
Yeah, so far looking pretty good.
That is looking good. Not looking good, on the other hand, is CSIQ. And I mean, CSIQ had a nice recovery a couple of days ago, but right now higher interest rates. So let's talk about it. Who are higher interest rates affecting? Definitely banks, both the big guys and regional banks. Home builders, right? Because this is where companies like Lennar and what is the other one? It used to be D.R. Horton. It's something else now. You know what I mean. Anyhow.
Four brothers.
Yeah. So home builders are hit. And of course, solar companies, right? And again, it all goes back to, what do you do with solar? You finance it. Higher interest rates are hurting banks, also solar. And if your homes are being built, then you have your solar installations. And in terms of solar installations, especially a company like CSIQ, I mean, this is not only in commercial, but also heavily in residential solar installations. So not looking good here. Down another 6% today. And come on, buddy. We need to move back towards here. We have seen that CSIQ can easily move 6, 8% in a day. Today, unfortunately, to the downside.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say about
that. Not much to say. So this is where we were hoping to get out of this this quarter. Seems that we might have to carry this position into the second half of the year. And this just one of the things that you're dealing with when trading the wheel strategy. When you get signed and the stock moves lower, you might be in the stock for longer than you think. So this, I mean, it's almost... I know that we have been in PNC for quite a long time, right? And then you see PNC, this was also interesting. So it moved lower, 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 and then hit this low. We got assigned, I think we got assigned at 148, right? So then it moved all the way towards...
Yeah, 147, I had 146, but...
Yeah, something close like enough. This. And then it moved all the way to 107. And then look at this, from there, boom. Shooting straight up. So this is what can happen. And we have been in this position for quite a while. We have been in an LVS position for quite a while. We have been in positions for quite a while before they recover. And so this is what it seems is happening to CSIQ.
And that happens with trading.
Yeah. NE, so close. I mean, we were getting really close to our break even and then also to our cost basis, pulling back a little bit, but this were probably, what did you do yesterday when you were looking at NEE?
Rock show for NEE, because overall it's still looking pretty good. I got it.
Nice, nice. And then UPS. UPS also quite interesting. I mean, it was looking good, moving lower yesterday with the overall market. Today, against the overall market, up 0.74%. So we'll see. Now, first step, fill this gap here, then take out the highs, and then hopefully we can start selling calls again.
Yeah. That works.
So over to WTF and WTF, a lot going on there. Let's take a look. ABBV. So this is a trade that we entered at 168, right now trading at 167.84, so down like, what, 16 cents? Not a big deal. And we see some very nice support right here. Time for this to pop a little bit higher and then get out of it.
Yeah, that works for me.
Although, again, ex-dividend date, tomorrow. So tomorrow, we'll still be in the stock tomorrow. Even if you sell it tomorrow, if you have an exit signal tomorrow, we will be entitled to receive a dividend of $1.55, which is always a nice bonus when this happens.
Yeah. I'll take it. We'll see the reaction tomorrow. But yeah.
No. Dividend never hurt nobody. Ended at 257.59, right now trading at 239.32, so a little bit down here. Right now up for the day after this drop yesterday, and same here. Just needs to pop a little bit higher here. CCEP. CCEP also up today, 0.3%, which is good to see. Entered it at 70.09, right now trading at 67.60, so same here. Time to pop higher. Yay.
Yes.
Monster beverage. Mark, you're not drinking enough monsters. Because you have...
Yeah. I retired my monsters.
What?
But I might need to re-up my monster intake to help out the community.
It seems so, because we entered at 57.74, right now trading at 54.80. So also slightly down here, especially after yesterday's slide.
Yeah.
Ross entered at 140.14, right now trading at 138.86. So also slightly above our entry, but also up 0.4% today.
Yeah, positive for the day. That works, and it'll take a little more to get an exit, but still looking all right.
Yeah. AT&T, T is the symbol, looking good yesterday. Today, a little bit down, so we entered at 16.77, right now trading at 16.49, so slightly down here. Today, down 1.5%, the dividend payment happened already 2 days ago, so we're not entitled to the dividend here, and right now we need AT&T also to pull higher.
Yeah, so a little bit of a pullback in continuation after entries on recent WTFs, but you know what? That's part of trading the strategy. So yeah. This year it's outperformed, it's traded better than expected, and we're not done with these trades yet. So looking for some of these to turn around. Maybe we'll take some small losses. We just have to wait and see. But Marcus, should you worry about the WTF strategy right now with them being a few trades in the red?
No, because as I said, I mean, it's outperformed. We are expecting a 70% winning percentage. We have been well above 80% winning percentage. And most of this, if we exit those, look at small losses. And I mean, you have shared the numbers over and over. Out of 10 trades, what we expect is 7 winning trades, 2 which are small losses, and 1 big loss. And I believe that this year we only had 1 big loss yet. So definitely outperforming right now the historical performance. And again, historical performance, it's cute to know what to expect. And it's not indicative of future results. And for sure, it doesn't mean that this will happen. There will be periods when the strategy is outperforming. There will be periods when the strategy is underperforming. And I think this is the takeaway, Mark, that probably you also ask, right? Just keep following your plan. I mean, you cannot just say, oh, my God, it's great right now. And then, oh, I have a few losses. I abandoned the strategy. You have seen us here on this channel. We have been trading the same strategies for years. And you're following us every day trading this. You see, if you're in a position like CSIQ, does it mean that now we are abandoning the wheel strategy? No, you have seen us going through these kind of trades. I mean, we had Nvidia going down. We had AMD going down. We had Google. I should probably, instead of drawing snakes here, right? So AMD, NVIDIA, Google, we were in that, that went against us. Yeah. We PNC, we were in what? LVS. We were, what else comes to mind? I don't know.
I mean,
anyhow, long story short, yeah. This is what happens. You see how we are following our plan, and then all of these positions closed with a profit, right? So this is where sometimes it takes a little bit longer than we want to, and we'll see. But I know that you ask about WTF, so I went a little bit on a tangent here, but I think it's important, and that's one of the reasons why we are doing this show here, so that you can follow along what we are doing and just see how we are dealing with this as traders. We cannot move the markets. We can only trade what we see and not what we think.
Exactly. And most traders will trade a strategy that actually is decent, that they'll trade it to a drawdown and stop and move on, trade another strategy to a drawdown and stop and move on. And so you're always getting the worst out of each strategy, rather than benefiting from a strategy that actually turns around and starts to outperform as well. So we tend to find solutions and ideas and filters and freak out to fit the narrative that we believe. So if you believe the market's going down, you find all these reasons for the market to supposedly be crashing. And you know, it's just the ebb and flow of the market. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be wins, there's going to be losses. And I am still trading the strategy. I'm risking live money, cash money,
real money.
I'm risking cash money on the strategy, and I have confidence in it. And Marcus, I know you do as well.
Right, exactly. And again, with that said, I know that we went a little bit longer today, but if you're enjoying this, give us a like. We appreciate all of the likes. If you feel that others can benefit from these videos, please share them. There's a share button right underneath, and you can share them all sorts of platforms, or forward by text or email. And if you're new to the channel, hit subscribe. Subscribe is somewhere there, because this way you get notified whenever we go live, which will be again tomorrow. And for me, it will be from Austin.
Nice.
All right. With that said, have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.